Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are with me. Happy holidays, everyone. Last show of 2023. We're going to get through December of 2007. We're still in the era where Vince would take the holidays off. That would change eventually. I never knew why. But I'm glad the wrestlers are actually getting a break off this year for Christmas. It's about damn time that like folks get a little bit of rest for the holidays. And they're going to do, what, a best of show next Monday for Raw? And I think they tape SmackDown on Friday. So I think that's taped, and you know, we already know what's going to happen there. But so yeah, we'll get through December and a couple things modern day to kind of chit-chat about as we cruise through to Royal Rumble season. There's no December pay-per-view, so we're already on the road to the Royal Rumble. We've got a couple folks declared, and you know, we're kind of getting a clearer view of what's going to come in the next few PLEs. Let's start on the Raw side, because they pretty much explicitly told you, hey, one of the main events is going to be CM Punk and Seth Rollins. How we get there, if a title is involved, we don't know, but they've explicitly told you this much. And I guess the only real question here is, like, is Seth holding the championship going into WrestleMania? You know, it's a good, or if, you know, how CM Punk does it. Does he win the Rumble? I know the story's there. I've mentioned it a few times. You know, Cody, we'll touch on that in a bit. You know, we know how we're getting there. It's just the dominoes falling, as they may, I should say.
Yeah, I feel like the easiest way for Punk to get to WrestleMania is to win the Rumble. Mm-hmm. I can't picture him winning a chamber match at this stage of his career. All due respect to him, I feel like that's a bit of a tougher situation to work around. His age, his work rate ability right now. The Rumble is so much easier. They could have him come in at 27. Doesn't matter. Save 30 for somebody who's actually a surprise.
Yeah.
Not do the thing you did. See, that's the thing. With Punk in the Rumble, he has to win now. And I think Cody is probably going to end up winning the chamber. And I've long thought that anyway. I didn't think Cody was going back-to-back. I thought one of two things was going to happen. Either Gunther was going to win the Rumble after, you know, losing last year at one, they were going to do the reverse thing where Cody starts, Gunther is at 30, yep. And they sign Punk. And it's like, oh, well, that's there too if they don't do this in Tampa, and it doesn't seem like they're going to do it in Tampa. So,
yeah,
Punk winning the Rumble feels like the easiest way to get there. And yeah, I do see Seth getting to Mania as champion. I don't really feel like any other matchup has that kind of juice. No disrespect to Drew McIntyre, you know, he's been at that stage, but
well, they're doing that on day one too. So
they are, and so, but you know, like I can't envision Drew taking the championship from Seth and going into Mania as champion against Punk.
Yeah.
Just because, again, all due respect, Drew Punk gets a good match. Probably a great match in some arenas and some venues, but
yeah.
Rollins Punk just has a little bit more juice to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I know Priest still has a briefcase, but it's hard to imagine him cashing in and facing Punk at WrestleMania. Yeah. Well, they're kind of in a situation again where it's going to be tough to imagine that briefcase being actually successfully cashed in, because it's going to be Rollins or Punk and then either Roman or Cody, you know, leading up to the deadline, which is, you know, July, which they got some time to work with it still. But yeah, I mean, it's
I think that's you're I think you're undervaluing where Damian Priest is right
fair.
in that company. He's one of their most trusted people. He's one of their biggest stars. I feel like they had him working with Bad Bunny multiple times in the last couple of years.
That's true.
Yeah,
no, they're getting him ready. The thing that I really like about this run with the briefcase, it's like they're not just gonna drop him in the pool one day and say, "Oh, he's next."
Yeah,
that's what they kept doing every time with everybody. They were just doing that, just like, "Oh, he's next," and then they're gonna just show you it and then pull it away 3 months later because, oh, they're just a tourist.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the difference. I know somebody who has mentioned this before, escaped me. Priest is not a tourist in the main event room. He's going to eventually be one of those people.
Yeah, it seems like it.
He's not being booked like a tourist like some other Money in the Bank winners have in the past. They're actually doing something with him. And he also still has 7 months with the case.
That's true.
That's the thing. There's no rush. So I don't understand why people are like, oh, he has to do it. No.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
But
7 months.
Yeah, I do think it is going to be Rollins and Punk at Mania. I think you do have Punk win the Rumble. It kind of sucks for Gunther, I guess. But, I mean, he's going to be a factor for, you know, much longer than Punk's there, much longer than, you know, a lot of these guys are there. He's only, I think, 35 or whatever. He's not super old. So, I mean, he's going to be around. I think they'll probably still figure out something big for him. I mean, he had one of the best matches of WrestleMania last year. So just kind of put him in a big spot. He'll deliver, whether it's Brock or whether it's, you know, they got something else planned. And I mean, yeah, it sucks that he's not getting, you know, the big, big spot this year, but I mean, you know, he'll have plenty of chances and
it's his third year in the company.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and the main roster, like
they got two big pay-per-views in Europe next year too. Exactly. So I mean,
he easily have the main event in Berlin.
Exactly. I think you go with Punk now, and then you know, that means Cody wins the chamber, which, you know, that gives you an opportunity to kind of do some fun stuff too, where like maybe Solo and Jimmy are also in the chamber to try and, you know, keep Cody out. I just don't necessarily know how they're going to explain him jumping to SmackDown, but they've gotten better at that sort of stuff lately. So I trust that they'll do it successfully.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like WrestleMania season is when the time of year we're like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, that too.
You know, I don't see the Raw winner automatically choosing the Raw winner. I think it's going to be CM Punk's autonomy that, you know, has him choose Seth Rollins. So, you know, I think they'll give equal opportunity to folks on Raw, folks on SmackDown. Like, yeah, we'll see LA Knight in there. There's a possibility we see Orton, if Orton's not working, Roman in a second match opposite the Royal Rumble, which I'm totally fine with, unless he just doesn't do Australia, Roman, which, like, believable.
Yeah.
I think he's going to. I think they'll probably do some sort of like big tag match on the way to Mania.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I could very easily see Roman, Solo, and Jimmy against Cody and two others.
Yeah, but Cody's gonna be in the chamber, thing.
Oh yeah. Well then, okay, fuck it. Then I don't know, send the Good Brothers there.
Yeah.
AJ Styles. Give them a paycheck.
No, you could do that.
What if you know that crowd in front is gonna cheer and wanna see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to see them. I mean, you can just do that and get away with Roman not having a title defense because he doesn't need one.
Yeah.
Because again, it's one of those things. It's a similar situation in a similar vein to when Sasha had the title on the way to Mania 37 against Bianca. People were like, oh, why are they doing a women's chamber match? They didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know that you know what you were getting anyway.
Well, that's really the other thing. Like, I don't care if Roman doesn't wrestle on the Elimination Chamber. I honestly, if Orton wasn't here, and that's kind of a perfectly ready-made thing for them, I wouldn't have cared if he didn't wrestle at the Rumble either, because these shows are about, you know, the Elimination Chamber and the Royal Rumble. Everything else kind of feels secondary.
Yeah, and again, there's no drama at this point, because you know we need to get to Mania at this point for Cody Roman, too. Just get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Orton, there's a little bit of drama because, like, he's a guy where, you know, you could always see him maybe winning.
Yeah, because he's Randy Orton.
Exactly.
That's a fine box to check off. I have no problem with that. I just think that if they decided to say, oh, okay, Roman's not going to defend again until Mania 40.
Yeah.
fine by me. I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, why doesn't he always show up? Why does he? Yeah. Why isn't he always defending? I don't care.
Same yeah, time, and I mean, though, I was gonna say same time though, and you just mentioned his name, another person who I want to see like get a notch or Roman get a notch on is AJ Styles. The fact yeah. that yeah. like this championship run doesn't have an AJ Styles match in it kind of sucks.
Pretty crazy.
It is. And I mean, they could just do that elimination chamber because then.
I would just do a fucking triple threat at the Rumble, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be fun.
The way well, the AJ the came thing, back and kind of. That, do you think?
Pierce, the thing with that is that since we were talking about, we know what's going to happen on SmackDown, they're doing a triple threat contenders match on SmackDown in Vancouver on January 5th. Styles versus Knight versus Orton, winner faces Reigns at the moment. Okay. So it's going to be one-on-one.
It could be some fuckery in there.
Yeah, that's but true.
Two arms over LA Knight, two refs counting, you never know.
It feels like a triple threat, too, can kind of, you know, take some of the pressure off Randy, because it's growing. They're going to want it to be a longer match, mm-hmm. and... Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, those are clearly the main events. And I don't think this year that there is a women's match that's going to get either of the spots. I think it's finally Punk's time. And obviously, you know, Roman and Cody are Roman and Cody. And it kind of is what it is. I mean, like, you know, we saw in Dallas a couple of years ago, like the women don't need to necessarily main event every year. Because if you do that, then it feels forced.
Yeah.
If there's a story that calls for it, which... You could argue that you could argue that Charlotte and Rhea didn't call for it, but they rose to the occasion, and I think anyone would in that spot too. Like that's the thing, but
they were.
I mean, Charlotte and Rhea was pretty dry.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was, but again, these things happen. But I it sort of becomes sort of like a situation where you run into a problem where it's like, oh well, it has to be a story based. Well. The thing with that, of course, is the women don't have the advantages.
That's true.
The guys always do. But the thing is, you do run into a problem where it looks like you're just filling a quota.
Exactly.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I also think that the problem you also run into there is, well, there's two titles.
Yes.
Just like there's two men's titles, there's two women's titles. So the complainers online, they're not gonna be satisfied with anything.
No, exactly.
So it's you can't feed into those.
There.
But they'll make the main event if they can make it significant.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has to. It's not just the story thing right now for the women, just because there's only been two. But it has to be a significant thing. That's why I think whenever they do it, Bianca versus Rhea is going to be the next women's main event.
Yeah, I would agree.
Now, when is that going to happen? I don't know. But that's the next match that they probably will give the main event crown to.
Yeah, which, speaking of the women's division, there's a lot going on right now.
Yes, there is.
You know, obviously Charlotte's out for at least all of 2024.
Yeah.
Torn ACL and various other things.
Torn ACL, torn meniscus, torn MCL.
Doesn't sound great. Not which, great. It's one of those things, man. You know, she lands the moonsault the same way every time, and this time it just didn't work.
Yeah.
It sucks, man. You know, people hate on Charlotte a lot, and, like, you know, I get it, but her presence is always
a
good thing for the WWE, and to not have her there on the road to WrestleMania, you kind of knew that along the lines you would get Charlotte and Bianca maybe at WrestleMania. Like, that sucks, especially for Bianca, because that's the marquee match for her. She's already wrestled Becky at WrestleMania. Rhea, we're saving for a special time. There's no one else on that roster that you could look out and say, okay, that's a marquee match for Bianca Belair at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Right. Sucks. Yeah, and that's really the thing, like, because, you know, everyone, the rumor was kind of the whole time, like, oh, they're doing Bianca and Charlotte, which meant one of them was getting the title back. And, I mean, obviously, it's not the case anymore. It doesn't seem, I mean, you know, obviously, Charlotte's not there. Bianca could still get the title back, but I don't know what purpose that would serve. So, yeah, it's an interesting spot for her. I've seen some people say, you know, maybe you put Jade there and Bianca can kind of lead the way, and... I don't see that. I don't think WrestleMania is the best spot to try something out like that.
Not even that. Okay. Go ahead.
Hold on. No. No, anyone saying that is
no, I agree.
Is not taking themselves seriously. They're not taking Jade seriously. They're not taking Bianca seriously. And it's not Bianca's job to lead anybody.
Yeah.
And also, do you want to nuke Jade's career? She's not going to wrestle a five-star match in her first match against Bianca at WrestleMania. That's not
I don't think work. Those people are being genuine when they say
that
they
not.
Should have Bianca Belair face Jade Cargill. Because if you really, like, really wanted to shoehorn Jade into something right now, or even help Bianca and have her do something, you would have them as a tag team. And you would have them as the tag team champions at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Or do the Shayna and Ronda thing from last year, have an invitational and have them win that. And it's a showcase for the both of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a very disingenuous thing to want, especially when you know Jade needs a lot of work right now.
Well, and I mean, we saw last week, you know, when Rhea and Maxine Dupree had their match, like, we saw what happens when you put people who aren't ready for TV yet in matches. They don't work, and you can't just do that at WrestleMania, even if you rehearse it move for move, and, you know, you think Jade's ready, and she very well might be, but, like, it's just such a big risk that you can't take risks at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you can't take any risks at WrestleMania, and, I mean, there's the chance that the crowd doesn't know anything. That's why, honestly, I'm probably on an island here. I don't think anyone really takes the time to think about it or whatever. In a weird way, it's a good thing that Rhea Ripley did not defend the NXT Women's title at Raymond James Stadium at WrestleMania 36.
Yep.
Instead did so in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying thank God for COVID. I'm just saying that crowd would not get done for any favors.
No, I agree.
That would have been all Charlotte, and her career just would have been done. I don't know. Looking back, I have no idea what they were thinking. That was so weird.
I mean, again,
and I'm so glad that they don't do it to that.
Trying to take a chance, I guess, but you look, and the crowds really haven't started taking to Rhea until like the past, you know, 6-8 months. I mean, it's taken some time. So I mean, but yeah, I mean, I don't really know what they do with Bianca at this point, just because maybe your big women's match on SmackDown is finally Bayley against Io.
I mean, I feel sense. Like. Personally speaking, I feel like that's a lot.
Yeah.
They're clearly laying the foundation for that. That's definitely going to happen. Bianca, she's in an interesting spot because we were just talking about it. Hell, if you want, and if it's a situation where, you know, she doesn't have anything, they can't get anybody, okay. Send her to Raw, do Bianca Rhea this year. I know that they need to have all the time in the world, whatever. You have to do what you have to do in these situations.
Yeah.
And unless you're doing Becky Rhea, I have no idea if they are or if they're not, there's not a lot of big matches that they can do other than Bianca Rhea.
Yeah.
With all due respect to everyone else. Because right now the situation on SmackDown does not call for Bianca to be champion because she cannot face Charlotte. She's already faced Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do anything against her with damage control. It's not fresh, and there's no one else in that situation. Also, I've seen people think Bianca Trish is a possibility. It is, but the problem there is it's very, very much like Becky Trish.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They can't do that again. There would have to be something else there. They could figure something else out.
Yeah.
But on its surface, that's just the same thing, just copy paste it to somebody else.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Mercedes is out there still, but like doing Mercedes and Bianca at WrestleMania feels weird too, because you already did it, you know, 3 years ago or whatever.
You can, but that's something that I would have to change when they see.
Yeah, that too.
It's not, that's something I would genuinely see to believe with my own eyes.
It's interesting, though, to think about, because the Mania card, it's filling up fast already. Like, we usually, by December, we don't usually know too much about it, just based on how things used to be. But there's actually plans now. And
very quickly see some roads being paved to Philadelphia.
You get a lot of top guys where there's not necessarily a clear path where they'll end up in, you know, one of the big tag scrambles or, you know, what's Brock doing? It's hard to say at the moment, and it's going to be really interesting.
Very interesting to see what Brock and Gunther are doing. I keep fucking saying, I don't understand why you don't do that match at WrestleMania. In Philly? Come on, man. Like,
especially when Gunther's other stuff kind of fell through, you know, you got to make it happen.
Yeah, that crowd will be fucking on fire for that match.
Yes.
Are you kidding? I don't know what Logan Paul does, but I mean, whatever, I guess.
Probably LA Knight.
Probably, I was going to say
that could be LA Knight's, that could be an opener. I like that. I like
that. Yeah, it would be a big thing.
Yeah, it could be his big thing.
LA Knight. As far as, since we're on the subject of WrestleMania and Philly, we haven't talked about Hall of Fame yet. We can get to like possibles. I will say this. There's one person that was supposed to be in the Hall of Fame in Tampa, and that's Batista. And yeah. Still waiting. I don't know his schedule, but I think this should be the year. It's close enough to his hometown to where it's like, you know what? Fucking do it now.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he was waiting for fans, and the fans are there now, and you know, I get it.
Great fan base to be there and do it for, so why not? If you need a headliner that bad, I think your headliner should be Batista. But as far as other folks, you know, Philly being such a wrist history, I think you have so many ECW stars that aren't in there yet.
Yeah.
You know, who is this the year that you do Paul?
Yeah, I think if he's receptive to it, yeah, absolutely. I think really just that entire like ECW originals team of Dreamer, Sandman, Sabu, and RVD could all four go in as well.
RVD's like, in.
Oh yeah, fair. I mean, it would be cool if they could get Taz. I know that'll be a headache because it's stupid. But
Dreamer is
just
Impact, right? So like, all you can do is call them up and be like, "Hey, come."
Yeah, they won't care.
No, they won't care.
I mean, Sandman's not doing anything. Sabu's not doing anything. So I mean, those guys would be cool. Dudley's are in.
Teams could you do?
Yeah, you might have to not do an ECW specific tag team because there really aren't a ton outside of the Dudleys. I mean, in terms of tag teams that aren't in, that should probably be in.
Incredible and Lance Storm.
No, just tag teams overall.
Not going to induct the Eliminators.
Not going to induct the Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, there's a lot of superstars, and there's some, like, crew, like, workers. Like, if you want to throw Dean Malenko in the Hall of Fame, I'm not going to hold you. I know there's some issue there, the AEW there, but
yeah.
I'm not going to hold you. Do you do some of the Max wrestlers? Like, do you call up Hoovy? Do you call up Psychosis?
I mean, that'd be cool, too. I think a guy to really focus on is not ECW related. Lex Luger has been doing a lot with them lately again.
Yes, he has.
Plus, in theory, maybe you could get Sting to induct him because it'll be after his retirement. Again, whole stupid thing. I don't know how it's going to work out. But, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, Luger could go be at Sting's last match and then Sting can induct him into the Hall of Fame a month later. But, you know, not going to hold my breath on that one.
I'm sure that Ray will get a posthumous induction.
That's a good one, because I know Eddie went in the year after. Ray's a good one. Ken Shamrock signed a Legends deal, so yeah, maybe there's something
that's
there.
That's possible as well.
But yeah, as far as the headliner goes, it's either Batista or probably Heyman,
Probably Batista, Heyman, or Bray, depending on how they frame it.
That's true.
Now let's just go dive back into the year 2007. Let's clean it up. Last time we left off, Chris Jericho was decoded and he's back. Shawn Michaels is somewhere withering away. JBL's chomping at the bit. And Edge is back. And I'm pretty sure, right, at this point in 2007, Edge on SmackDown is Triple H on Raw in 2004. It's big bad vibes.
All right, let's see. So we get into our top five songs here. Staying at five is Bubbly, up to four is Low. Staying at three is Apologize, down two is Kiss Kiss, and staying or hopping up to number one is No One by Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
So good stuff there. So we got Raw from Charlotte. I think we did this one already, so we're just going to go right into December.
The first post Survivor Series week.
Yeah,
that's right. We did. Okay. Right.
So,
all right. So, top five songs are actually Crank That is back at the top five somehow. Low stays at four. Kiss Kiss is down to three. Apologize up to two. And No One stays at number one. Top five movies. Awake debuts at number five. Hitman stays at four. This Christmas stays at three. Beowulf stays at two. And Enchanted stays at one. Meanwhile, in the NFL.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Sequentially. Talk about Saturday, December 1st.
Yes.
Which means Dun, dun, dun. Talk about the most chaotic day in college football history. That's no exaggeration.
No, here we go. That's right.
No exaggeration here. If you're not familiar, let me bring us all up to speed here. We get 7. Okay. Polls and ratings. Let me go to the polls. So entering this week, we had a top 5 of number 5 LSU at 10-2, number 4 Georgia at 10-2, number 3 Ohio State at 11-1. Entering this weekend, Mizzou at 11-1 and West Virginia at 10-1 were number 1 and number 2. All Mizzou and West Virginia had to do was win, and then they would have been the BCS National Championship game this year. All they had to do.
Yeah, well.
Alas, some things happened along the way. First off, Virginia Tech beat 11th-ranked Boston College. They picked off Matt Ryan twice in the last 3 minutes. The Hokies will go to the Orange Bowl. In the SEC Championship, 5th-ranked LSU defeated Tennessee 21-14. Late picks from LSU told the story. LSU will now play in the Sugar Bowl unless they sneak into the BCS National Championship game. The big unless.
Yes.
Entering the night, once again, all Mizzou and West Virginia had to do was win. West Virginia was facing Pitt. Pittsburgh that season was not that great. Pitt was entering this game. Let me see. Pitt was four and seven, entering this game. They were not a good team. And yet, Pitt defeated West Virginia in the backyard brawl 13-9.
My God.
And Mizzou got stomped 38-17 in the Big 12 championship game by Oklahoma. So Mizzou and West Virginia are done. So what happens now?
Well,
we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
What's the NFL?
Yes. Meanwhile, in the NFL,
real quick. Just come across my airways. We have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking wrestling news, courtesy of wrestlingnews.co. Legendary former WWE referee Earl Hebner was infamously in charge of Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series 1997, the match that would be known as the Montreal Screwjob. In later years, Bret claimed that Earl had promised him he would play no role in a screwjob, a promise which clearly wasn't kept. However, Hebner was recently interviewed and revealed that he and Bret have since mended their friendship. He explained, if I can ever read it, quote, "I have a merch shirt." No. Of course you do.
Yep.
"I have a merch shirt that says, damn right I did. Of course you do. And a lot of people want me to write on it, I screwed Bret. I go, no, I can't do that. A while back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I would do it. But Bret and I made up. And before my brother passed, we were at a house show or indie show, and he was there. And he called us to the ring, and he put us over, like, big time. I wonder if that's true. So now Bret calls me, and I'll call him, and we have a good relationship back, and I'm not going to screw." That doesn't fucking matter. Do you think that's cap? This breaking news, is that cap?
Oh, I mean, at this point, like, why would anyone involved in that still be mad at each other? Like,
but here's the thing. We know Bret Hart still holds a grudge.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but that's a little different, though, because Goldberg did end his career. Well, I mean, not technically. Wrestling with a concussion for a month ended his career.
I'll be honest with you. Goldberg was the second man I thought of. Should have been the first. Hogan was the first.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I hope it's true. That's good. You shouldn't hold grudges, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, time heals all wounds, I guess. Unless it gets a concussion.
The NFL, so we had a Thursday game this week. The Dallas Cowboys defeated the Green Bay Packers 37-27 to improve to 11-1.
Aaron Rodgers' first appearance in the NFL. We talked about this last time.
We did. We did.
So, we'll talk about what happened on Sunday.
Yes.
So it was a busy day.
It was. There's a lot going on. The Chicago Bears had a 2-touchdown lead going into the fourth quarter against the Giants and lost. If you can believe that. So they've just kind of been doing that forever.
John Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in the week.
Yeah, Washington took the penalty to start the game and then lost because they called back-to-back timeouts on field goal attempt, which you're not allowed to do, and it was a whole thing. Peyton Manning, 4 touchdowns against Jacksonville. He's kind of rolling along. Drew Brees had a couple touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. LaDainian Tomlinson, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 24-10 win over the Chiefs.
The Chargers had 8 sacks of the Chiefs and intercepted them 3 times. The Vikings beat the Lions 42-10 and outgained them 216-23 on the ground.
Yeah, fair. Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots improved to 12-0 with a 27-24 victory over the Baltimore Ravens.
That was a famously tight game.
It was. Jabbar Gaffney scored in the final minute to put New England over the top.
Yep.
So there you go. Patriots are starting to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, the Ravens had them on the break. There was a late flag that was pretty controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Ryan was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens this year. He's a couple months away from being hired by the Jets.
He is.
I remember that being a real, that was one of their first big nail biters.
Yes. All right. We got Raw from North Charleston, South Carolina. Chris Jericho's here. When he came back, his goal was to become WWE champion, but he couldn't get it by insulting Randy or demanding a title match. He had to dig deeper. Cost Orton a victory in a high-stakes match, which he did against Ric Flair last week. After Raw, we got a WWE Mobile exclusive, and Randy accepted Jericho's challenge. Came out and said he was the youngest champion in WWE history. Jericho gets it, but it doesn't mean anything now. He's not all fun and games. He knows Randy's dangerous and violent and vicious, but Jericho is too, and in Armageddon, he's taking the title. William Regal comes out and says they're doing Pick Your Poison tonight. Randy picks Umaga for Jericho, and Jericho picks Shawn Michaels for Randy. Good stuff. Beth Phoenix and Melina defeat Mickie James and Maria. Shawn Michaels with Todd Grisham. He says the more things change, the more they stay the same. The title's not on the line, but Sweet Chin Music is legal now against Orton. He keeps talking, and Kennedy comes up on the screen behind him, says that Shawn needs to focus on him. And Kennedy's got a surprise for him, a blast from the past. So we go to the ring, and Kennedy invited 3 of Shawn's closest friends and rivals tonight. We get a fake Marty Jannetty, a fake Razor Ramon that was Jackson Ryker, and fake Diesel, which was not Kane, the different fake Diesel. They do their bits and all that, and then Shawn comes out, and Kennedy retreats, and Shawn super kicks all of them.
Next week, Hulk Hogan will be on hand for Raw's 15th anniversary show, as will Trish Stratus. Mick Foley, Eric Bischoff, and Stone Cold as well. Vince McMahon and Coach were talking about all this when Hornswoggle came in and needed Vince for something. Vince said next week they're doing a McMahon family portrait. Also tonight, Hornswoggle will face Coach and Carlito in a no disqualification handicap match while Finlay is in Ireland. He seemed concerned, and as Vince left Hornswoggle, got Vince's phone and dialed the number.
Yes. Call. Interesting. The winner of Triple H and Jeff Hardy at Armageddon will get a title shot against Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble. Look at that, a number one contender match on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's a real one. You know what? You want something that's going to really juice up the women's division one day. It would be a contenders match on paper.
No, I agree. That'd be good. They should go back to that.
They should go back to big contenders. I don't understand why they don't. They're a big deal.
Jericho and Umaga have a pretty good match, and then Orton RKOs Jericho, so it ends in disqualification. Carlito and Coach against Hornswoggle in a no disqualification match. Hornswoggle goes over to Lillian and whispers something, and she announces that Hornswoggle has protection, and we get the APA. They beat up Carlito and Coach, and Carlito flees, and then Hornswoggle hits the frog splash on Coach for the win, which kind of weird that JBL is just, you know, helping, and especially what comes next, but, you know.
Yeah, facing around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Snitsky's wrestling Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental title tonight for some reason. They have their match, and then Jeff wins, and Snitsky attacks him after, and Triple H chases him off with a sledgehammer. Triple H being a good guy. Shawn Michaels loses to Randy Orton by countout when Kennedy comes out and Shawn attacks him and they brawl to the back, and then Jericho attacks Randy in the ring. And Stephanie drops by Vince's office. He invited too many of his enemies last week and she's concerned. Maybe he shouldn't show up, but he has to because he's going to name the greatest superstar in Raw history.
So, to be clear about Patriots-Ravens, how big of a deal that was and how big of a game that was, at the time, that game drew the largest cable audience of all time. 17.5 million viewers tuned into Monday Night Football, which was the most ever for a TV program in cable history.
That's crazy.
It was slightly higher than the previous record of 17.2 million viewers held by Disney's High School Musical 2 last August.
That's incredible.
During the 15-minute period from 11:30 to 11:45 Eastern, it drew in to 23 million viewers, and nearly a third of all TVs in use at the time were tuned into the game. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Also, that Cowboys-Packers game, despite the fact that it was on NFL Network, it drew 14.6 on cable.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, we got ECW from Florence, South Carolina. CM Punk has to either face Mark Henry or Viscera tonight. Good luck to him. Miz and Morrison defeat the Major Brothers. We get a vignette for WWE's first Jamaican superstar, Kofi Kingston. So he'll be here soon.
Jamaica, man.
Balls Mahoney and Kelly Kelly defeat Kenny and Victoria because the show is a mix of like the lower card of SmackDown plus ECW. It's not good. Shelton Benjamin defeats Jimmy Wang Yang. He would like to be ECW champion, which, yeah, I mean, good for him. He should. CM Punk defeats Viscera by disqualification. Mark Henry gets involved, and then they both beat him down and leave him there. And then Kane comes out with a chair, but it's too late. So really kind of making Punk look like an asshole.
Yeah, it kind of does. But, you know, they love doing that, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. SmackDown, also from Florence. Teddy Long is here. Triple threat at Armageddon is going to be unlike anything we've seen before. Three of the best competitors in WWE will be competing for the title, which sounds like something we have seen before, but it's fine. Ray will wrestle MVP for the U.S. title at Armageddon also, and he has more to announce, but Edge comes out instead. He says Vicky will be back soon, and Teddy won't be in charge anymore. But Teddy says until she is, he is in charge, and Edge will follow his orders, and Edge is going to face Kane tonight. Kane was the one that injured him earlier this year, so he is not looking forward to it.
No, he is not. Batista was in action. He defeated Elijah Burke. If Jamie Noble wins tonight, then he'll get a date with Michelle McCool. And he wrestled Chuck Lundlow and defeated him to win a date with Michelle McCool.
Yep.
MVP was here for the VIP lounge, and he would like to discuss the upcoming DVD on World Class Championship Wrestling.
Darren Claw in theaters this Friday.
Yeah.
Go super, check it out.
Yeah.
Super timely.
Were you guys able to see the early showing?
No, I didn't know about it until I saw your tweet. I was kind of pissed about it.
It is what I can say. Obviously, I'm not giving it away. The movie doesn't matter because you already know the fuck it happens.
Yeah.
Bruce Pitcher kind of put it very well when he said that, like, it's not a wrestling movie. Like, wrestling is the backdrop. And
that makes sense.
You have a lot of wrestling in it, in, you know, that's formulated around it, but it's a movie that everybody's going to be able to relate to because this is a family that's just built upon so much tragedy, and you get a deeper understanding or deeper feeling of, you know, how this, you know, a deeper connection of how this would have impacted you if you were in a situation where, you know, your parents manipulated you, or your parents, I would say parents, manipulated you into, you know, doing what you wanted to do. It's a very just tough watch. But I would say the only two problems I had with it, you're going to watch Jeremy Allen White, and he does a great job acting, but you're going to look at him and say, you're too small to be Kerry.
Yeah.
He is too small to Kerry. I feel like
yeah, it's
six,
kind of
6'2".
Yeah, that's been an issue kind of the whole time, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, that's a small one compared to the bigger one. And you don't see him for much, this Ric Flair. It is quite honestly the worst casting in a movie that I've ever seen.
You'll
get to it, and you'll be like, wow, who casts Ric Flair? Because what the fuck? Other than that, it's a fantastic movie. Deserves the Oscar buzz it's going to get. The dude, I think Harris Dickinson is his name, plays David. Mm-hmm. Wonderful job.
No, David. Nice.
So you guys are going to like the movie.
MVP loved the Freebirds versus Von Erichs growing up, which probably true. He's from Texas. I mean,
it's true.
Michael Hayes is MVP's guest tonight.
Is he from Texas? I thought he was from Miami.
No, he's from Miami.
Oh, that's right.
He moved to Texas, but
yeah.
It's probably true anyway.
Yeah. So you know, they plug the DVD for a while, and then they start insulting each other and fighting, and MVP hits a playmaker, and Rey Mysterio comes out and fights MVP. Hornswoggle is playing around in Deuce and Domino's car because he's little, so he's a child. They get mad at him, and then Finley comes up and puts an end to it, and Finley beats Deuce in a match, and Kali puts Finley in the vice grip after. Edge and Kane have a pretty good back-and-forth match, but Edge gets disqualified for using a chair, and then Kane kicks it at him and attacks him with it. He brings a step in, but Edge does a drop toe hold and goes for a concerto, but Batista, who is on commentary, comes in and stops Edge. An Undertaker comes out, and Batista spears him to end the show. That was SmackDown.
So, in Thursday Night Football, to kick off the weekend...
Chicago Bears are in action.
They were.
They lost.
They lost. 24-16 to Washington. Both Jason Campbell and Rex Grossman, who both share the distinction of both being Bear quarterbacks. Both Bear and Washington quarterbacks were knocked out of the game. Todd Collins threw two touchdowns in a game for the first time in a decade for Washington.
We're not talking about Todd Collins.
Ryan Greasy threw a touchdown and gave up two interceptions for the Bears. Also, all four of those quarterbacks, I'm pretty sure.
They are. Yep. Todd Collins replaced Jay Cutler in the NFC Championship.
So on Saturday, December 8th, we had Tim Tebow became the first sophomore in history to win the Heisman Trophy. And for the second straight year, Darren McFadden finished as the runner-up.
Man, yeah. Darren McFadden was cold in college.
He was.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He was incredible. It's a quarterback award, though.
It is. But, I mean, running backs have – it's mostly been halfbacks and
that's true.
Quarterbacks. They were talking about that on the great Heisman race of 1997. Great 30-30, by the way.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Appalachian State, who you might remember at the start of this season, upset fifth-ranked Michigan at the Big House.
They did.
They played Richmond in the FCS semifinals, and Armonte Edwards ran for 313 yards, a Division I record for the quarterback. Neither FBS or FCS, in four touchdowns, through for three more, and they will go to Chattanooga for a chance at their third straight national title in the division.
Fair enough. Crazy. That is crazy.
Let's see. Floyd Mayweather beat Ricky Hatton via a 10th round TKO to retain the WBC welterweight title in a bout at Las Vegas at the MGM Grand.
Yeah, it was a big one.
And now we can roll into the NFL.
Yes, the rest of the NFL. Peyton Manning, four more touchdowns in a 44-20 victory over Baltimore. Really doing a good job trying to maintain pace with Brady, but Brady also had four touchdowns as the Patriots improved to 13-0 with a 34-13 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This note on Wikipedia says, throwing on almost every down, Tom Brady added four more touchdown passes to his season total. Pass them, so you have that game.
He had 46, and they had a combined 9 rushing attempts in that game. So
yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Airing it out, man.
Damn.
Randy Moss had 135 yards. Jabbar Gaffney had 122 yards.
So in Giants Eagles, the Giants had a 16-13 edge over the Eagles in the dying moments of the game. David Akers attempted a 57-yarder, but it hit the upright as time expires. The Giants escape with a victory.
Damn.
They are surviving over there. What's the Giants' record at this point?
The Giants are...
Check back in on them at some point.
Later. They're probably 9-4.
They're hanging in there.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Ryan Grant ran for 156 yards. Will Blackman returned a punt and a fumble for a touchdown. In a 38-7 win for Green Bay, and they clinched the NFC North.
Yes.
Sage Rosenfels threw three TD passes in a 2014 win for the Texans over the Bucs. Fred Taylor ran for a franchise record 80-yard touchdown run. It's the longest run in franchise history at the time. In a blowout win for Jacksonville, they beat them 37-6. Dallas. Tony Romo led the Cowboys on a game-winning drive in the final 2 minutes and 15 seconds that ended with a 16-yard TD pass to Jason Witten to clinch the NFC East with a 28-27 win over Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, the Chargers came back from down 17-3 against the Tennessee Titans to clinch the AFC West. They won 23-17 in overtime. LaDainian Tomlinson ran for 146 yards, including the game-winning touchdown from 16 yards out in OT.
He did.
311-pound Kevin Williams got a pick six, and Chester Taylor had an 84-yard rushing touchdown as the Vikings beat the 49ers 27-7.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Matt Hasselbeck threw four TD passes. Kurt Warner threw five interceptions. Seahawks won 42-21 over the Cardinals. Seahawks clinched the NFC West for the fourth time in 4 years. And Jay Cutler threw a career-high four TD passes and a 41-7 romp for Denver over Kansas City.
Yes. All right. Top five songs. Bubbly by Kobe Calais is up to five. Lois staying at four. Apologize down to three. Kiss Kiss back up to number two. And No One is staying at number one. Top five movies. No Country for Old Men debuts at number five. This Christmas at four. Beowulf at three. Enchanted down to two. And The Golden Compass debuted at number one. Not really a movie I was ever interested in, but a lot of people seem to like it. So
I don't even remember that.
I think Golden Compass is the one with Nicole Kidman and who else is in it?
Place for the Golden Compass.
Daniel Craig. That's right.
The Golden
Compass. Raw 15th anniversary from Baltimore. Honestly, probably one of the best of these shows they've ever done. This is a lot of fun. Vince here to open the show with Stephanie and Shane. Linda and Hornswoggle are not here. 15 years ago, Vince created Raw. Now it's the longest running weekly episodic television program in history. Linda's sick, so she's not there, and they're about to take the picture. Hornswoggle comes down. Vince tells Shane that he loves him. Stephanie loves her, and Hornswoggle, he loves him too, and he loves the fans. They're about to take the picture, and Triple H comes out, says that he should be in it because he feels like he's part of the family after all they've been through, which is funny because he's married to Stephanie. Triple H is going to bring out some people Vince has loved in the past, starting with Melina, which, inappropriate. Sonny, which, not great. Mae Young, who is here without Moolah because she's dead. Vince admits to getting with Mae Young during Moolah's funeral, and Shane and Stephanie leave because why wouldn't they? It's gross. Bastion Booger, Howard Finkel, Pat Patterson, Gerald Briscoe, and Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, and Big Dick Johnson all come out as well. Stephanie says Vince has embarrassed the family long enough, and now she's going to embarrass him, and makes out with Triple H before leaving. Hornswoggle is sad, but the Godfather comes to cheer him up, and he leaves with the Godfather. So I stuck the landing. Jeff Hardy and Carlito have a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Carlito does the Shelton springboard directly onto the ladder from WrestleMania 22. Very cool spot. Jeff gets the win. Good match. They're really propping Jeff up quite a bit, which makes sense.
It does.
Shawn Michaels with Todd Grisham. He was part of the very first episode of Raw. Last week, Kennedy went out with those imposters, and one was an imposter, Marty Jannetty, so Sean's curious what Kennedy could do against the real Marty, so they're going to wrestle tonight. They show a bunch of classic Raw moments, which I did all night. Huge fan, good stuff. Santino and Maria are here. Santino starts talking, makes an open challenge, and we get Rob Van Dam answering and rolling right through him. Rob Van Dam not in TNA yet, just kind of hanging out.
Yep. Ourselves an Evolution reunion, but not using their theme song. Randy almost ended Rick's career last week, so this was a bit awkward. Randy will not be joining them, but he's going to yell at them from the ramp.
Makes sense.
Evolution jumped him last time. Randy brought Edge out and Umaga instead, and they had a six-man tag with Evolution reformed as Triple H, Batista, and Ric Flair against Orton, Edge, and Umaga. Evolution won by DQ after Umaga wouldn't listen to the ref. Went to Simone Spike Flair. Batista stepped in. Babyface hit the finishers on Edge and as Edge and Orton retreated.
Yes. Hornswoggle's wrestling Kali again. Finley is not here. So Hulk Hogan comes out and helps him and does all the Hogan stuff. And then plugs American Gladiators on NBC coming in January. And teases a reunion with Randy Savage for some reason. We get a gimmick battle royal with all of our favorites from the past, and IRS wins, which is very unfortunate, but Ted DiBiase comes out and buys it off of him, so hell yeah, everybody's got a price.
Everybody has a fucking price, baby.
Steve Blackman was in this.
I have a Steve Blackman apologist. The world needs to know how dope Steve Blackman was.
We get a segment with Eric Bischoff and Chris Jericho, which kind of played off of their past, and did a good job hyping up Jericho and Randy, ended with Bischoff being in the Walls of Jericho. Dusty Rhodes on commentary because they were doing Cody and Hardcore Holly against Kaden Murdoch for the tag titles. Yeah. And Cody and Hardcore Holly get the win. So really cool moment.
It was.
It's nice that that happened. Jillian Hall is here and she sings badly and Trish comes out and then Lita comes out and they beat Jillian up. Kane and Lita catch up backstage. Very awkward.
Yeah.
Ron Simmons comes in and goes, damn. Kennedy defeats Marty Jannetty, of course. And then Vince is here to name the best superstar in Raw history. They have to be the person who made the single biggest impact on Raw. Vince says it's actually himself. Brings out Mick Foley as Mankind and puts Vince in the mandible claw. And the gong hits and Undertaker comes out and chokeslams Vince. And then finally we get Stone Cold and says the real best superstar in Raw history are the fans. And gets Vince up and hits him with the stunner. And the whole roster comes out and they drink some beers. And it's nice. Good stuff. Good show.
Wham! Stunner! Wham!
That's a good question. Like, what's the best anniversary show? This is a really good one, though.
Yeah.
A lot of fun surprises.
I mean, I don't mind the way they do them now. Like, it's just the 3-hour Raws aren't as special anymore. It was kind of a bigger deal back when they weren't all 3 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, ECW from Boston.
I'm very glad that we chose to ignore Internet Football. However,
What did the Falcons do?
Something happened the day after the Falcons lost 37-14.
Oh, yeah.
That's that Bobby Petrino left the team.
Well, listen. I mean, do you blame him?
Right, like, he was on the wall.
He didn't have Michael Vick.
I mean, don't...
They weren't going anywhere. He's got an SEC job.
He's a scumbag.
Lying. I mean, he is. Like, I'm not defending Bobby Petrino.
Listen, it's a lot easier to philander in Fayetteville, Arkansas than it is in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's true.
It may be more fun, but it's not a lot easier.
It worked out for the Falcons. They got Matt Ryan.
It worked out tremendously for the Falcons because you had a quarterback and a better head coach.
Exactly. So it's good.
Dan Quinn didn't go there immediately, did he?
No, it was Mike Smith for a while. And
that's
then,
right. Boring was, ass Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Steve Martin.
He did. ECW from Boston, CM Punk and Kane defeat Deuce and Domino. Shelton cuts another promo about how he's coming for the title. Miz and Morrison defeat Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore in a match that got 13 minutes.
Wow. For what fucking reason?
Kofi Kingston has another pre-tape and he says there's some trouble in paradise.
Trouble in paradise. Thank God he doesn't mention them. Shout out to Punk for always ripping him with that though.
Oh yeah. I'm glad that they've made up. I know they showed it on Raw that they made up and you know that might have just been for the camera, but I don't think it was. And it was nice because they were friends and then it became a whole thing and it's good.
It's good to see folks put past shit aside and as it is in the kind of situations that's been going on. Revolving around Punk, you know, folks too old for this shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Victoria and Layla defeat Kelly Kelly in a handicap match. Michelle McCool makes a save after, and then Batista defeats Elijah Burke again.
So the World Wrestling Federation caught a break this week because on Thursday, December 13th, 2007, the 21-month Independent Investigation Commission, headed by former U.S. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, released the report into the rampant use of PEDs and substances in Major League Baseball between the late 80s and the present. 70 current and former players were named in the report. It's a big deal.
It was.
Also took the heat off of WWE and their steroid skin.
Yeah, they basically just gave up on going after wrestling since they had a real sport to go after.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. It led to a lot of really stupid shit.
Yes.
But it was a big deal at the time. SmackDown, also from Boston. Edge is here to open the show. Vicky is back in a wheelchair and she's mentally scarred. She said all three of Undertaker, Batista, and Edge will wrestle tonight. Edge is up first against a mystery opponent. It ends up being Funaki, who he takes care of easily. Layla and Victoria defeat Kelly and Michelle. Chuck Palumbo tried to get rid of Kenny, but it distracted Michelle and led to Victoria getting the win. So he gets real mad backstage And Michelle still has to go on a date with Jamie Noble. Ray defeats Kenny. MVP was on commentary, offered Ray a handshake after the match. Ray said no, and MVP hit him with a cheap shot. We get Kane and Batista in a last man standing match. Which, again, Batista also wrestled on the ECW taping and is wrestling at the pay-per-view, so I don't really understand the point of all this. But Batista manages to overcome Kane, even though Edge tries to get involved. It's a big injury risk, and Batista's the world champion. You would think after how 2007 has gone, they would, maybe not expose themselves to that sort of risk. Edge and Vicky are bullying Teddy Long, who really never lost his GM job in the first place. He had a heart attack, and he really should have just got it back, but it's not how it works, so he's got to deal with them. Festus defeats The Miz. Kali and Hornswoggle wrestle again, and it goes to a no contest when Finlay comes out and attacks Kali before the match, and Kali chokeslams him before leaving. They'll wrestle at Armageddon. Kelly suggested maybe Michelle and Jamie could go on a double date with her and Balls Mahoney, and both Jamie and Michelle said no to that. Fair.
Valid.
Undertaker defeats Mark Henry and Viscera. They give him a double torture rack after the match, and Edge does the Undertaker pose to end the show.
All right, so we're on to Armageddon.
We are.
Armageddon from the Mellon Arena.
Yes.
One of the last shows there, I believe, before it turns into PPG Paints.
I don't know why the formatting got all fucked up, but yeah. It's there. Armageddon, yes, from Pittsburgh. We lead off with MVP against Rey Mysterio for the United States Championship. Really good choice for an opener.
Yeah.
Rey's got the black and yellow gear. He's taking it to MVP, and MVP decides to just leave and loses by countout, retains the title. Rey throws him back in the ring and hits a 619. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Moving along, we get Jeff Hardy backstage, who considers tonight the biggest match of his career. It's an accurate read on the situation. For single stuff at least, so he's fired up. And then we get a tag team match between Mark Henry and Viscera and CM Punk and Kane. Punk did springboard off the ropes, and Viscera caught him and splashed him and pinned him. I don't know why that happened.
Yeah, it was kind of doesn't make sense.
Silly.
Shawn Michaels and Kennedy have their match, and I mean, it's fine, but like you look at it in the context of the rest of the year that Shawn had. It's kind of a step back.
Yeah.
Kind of is what it is. But yeah, Shawn gets the win. No real surprise there.
2007 LA 9.
Yeah. Triple H is in action against Jeff Hardy. He's encouraging Jeff to dig deep and fight him, and Jeff just can't do it. And Triple H is kind of just taking it to him and goes through the pedigree late in the match, and Jeff rolls through and pins him for the victory. So a big one for Jeff Hardy.
The only distracting thing about this match was the woman screaming.
Yeah, it was bad. Finlay beat Kali with the help of Hornswoggle. Chris Jericho and Randy Orton in the WWE Championship match. It's a fine match, just JBL gets involved at the end and ends up being disqualification. It's just a really stupid way to bring Jericho back.
Sorry.
Because it'll be like, oh, you know, you hit me on Raw and that's what happened. That's why I got involved. But they didn't even like make a big deal about it. So
it happened it was a very impassive. You know, that you would never notice it. For that to be the catalyst to you returning is so weak.
It's so fucking weak.
And it didn't even lead to a main event match between, a WrestleMania match between the two.
They fought at the Rumble. This is so emblematic of the era that we were in right now. Because, like, the dude comes back. Big deal after Survivor Series. So it's a big four show. It's a big four fallout show. It's Chris Jericho. He's back for the first time in 2 years. People are fans of this guy. It's not the main event match, first off. So, you're kind of working from behind there. Can't just have a clean finish.
Yeah. No,
the thing. Like, it's the dude's return. He hasn't really wrestled since he got back. Give him the decency to have a clean finish in his first match, first big match back.
Yeah.
You want to do the JBL thing, do that in the second match.
Exactly.
Have some more animosity we can do. Have something happen during this match that can set them off. JBL can be like, don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen again by accident. You can get pissed off and you can do that. Don't do it now. It's weak.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Because again, it's just like, oh, if he came back, he has the title match, and he lost it by disqualification. He doesn't get a title match again for a while. So it's like, why did you do that?
Exactly.
There's fans of this guy everywhere. You don't need to do this all the time.
Yes.
I get it. It's fake. There's still to Coral.
Well, they did it with Brock when he came back too.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was arguably dumb too.
Yeah.
At least that was that. At least that was like just like paintball.
That's true. We get the famous Subway Train Royal Rumble ad.
Yes.
One of the more famous Royal Rumble ads up there with the West Side Story one.
Yeah.
Beth Phoenix defeats Mickie James, retain the title. Then we get Edge against Undertaker against Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. Kind of all take it to each other. Undertaker puts Batista in the triangle choke, and Edge rings the bell. Undertaker's confused. Edge gets in the ring and spears him, but Undertaker kicks out. He spears Batista, and Batista kicks out. Then everyone just kind of hits their finishers and breaks up pins and all that. We get a second Edge at some point.
Hmm.
It ends up being Curt Hawkins.
Yeah.
Undertaker chokeslams a fake Edge and tombstones Batista, but a real Edge comes in with a chair and attacks Undertaker, and he pins Batista for the win. He's the new World Heavyweight Champion.
It's a pretty standard Edge finish.
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah. Like, never somebody shits on Edge. Like, I don't blame you, because, like, look at this. Look at how they booked them in the mid to late 2000s. It was very much Triple H Run of Doom, or whatever you fucking call it back in the day. Didn't do any favors for Batista, for sure, because I don't really think Batista... He didn't, to me, look strong again until he turned heel nearly 2 years later. But, I mean, hey, they got from point A to point B, I guess, because, you know, Edge has a WrestleMania main event to get ready for. Batista faces Umaga, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Top five songs this week. Number five, Clumsy by Fergie. Kiss Kiss down to four. Low is back up to three. Apologize up to two. And No One is continuing to have that number one spot. No Country for Old Men stays at five. Enchanted's down to four. Golden Compass down to three. Alvin and the Chipmunks debuting at number two. And I Am Legend debuting at number one, grossing $103 million its first weekend.
I've never seen I Am Legend. I just don't think I'm that interested in it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have either, honestly. Like, everyone says it's good, but yeah, I'm not, like, super into those kind of movies.
Yeah, not the post-apocalyptic world I really care to see, you know?
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, in the NFL, week 15, we have a Thursday night game featuring the Houston Texans getting a 31-13 victory over the Denver Broncos. The Saturday game saw the 49ers with a 20-13 victory over the Bengals. Cleo Lemon won the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, so we need to check in on that real quick. Miami Dolphins defeated the Baltimore Ravens to improve to 1-13 on the year.
Yeah, they broke their 16-game losing streak. Cleo Lemon found Greg Camarillo in overtime for a 64-yard touchdown pass.
Wasn't that the game where they ran the Wildcat a bunch, too?
No, that was the year after.
Oh, okay, fair. But yeah, Cleo Lemon had... What did he have to get Offensive Player of the Week? He had 23 for 39 for 315 yards and a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah, good for him. Elsewhere, we had the Eagles pull out a 10-6 victory over the Cowboys.
Romo had three interceptions.
Seems bad.
13 of 36 passes.
On the New England Patriots improved to what would be, what, 14-0? 14-0 with a 2010 victory over the New York Jets.
Second team in NFL history to go 14-0.
Yep. No touchdown pass for Brady.
Correct. He threw for a season-low 140 yards in windy conditions. They scored touchdowns off an interception and a blocked punt.
Fair enough. The Cleveland Browns picked up an 8-0 victory over the Buffalo Bills.
That was in a blizzard.
Yep, that Jamal makes sense.
Jamal Lewis had 163 yards on 33 carries.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked up a 37-3 victory over the Atlanta Falcons, who have had a week.
Yes.
Chargers rolled to a 51-14 victory over the Detroit Lions to improve to 9-5.
Five picks off John Kitna.
Yes.
Two
more touchdowns for LaDainian Tomlinson, who probably has about 24 at this point, if I had to guess. We haven't really been keeping track, but
yeah,
somewhere up there.
Michael Spurlock also in that Tampa Bay game became the first Buck to return a kickoff for a TD.
Yeah, fair enough. Marcus Colston led all receivers with 114 yards this week. I think the first time we've really mentioned his name this year.
Yep.
Anything else? No, that's about it, I believe. Mario Williams had 3.5 sacks and a win over Denver. So that's pretty good. Yep. Okay. on to Raw from Buffalo. Oh, wait, I forgot the Monday Night Football game. The Bears lost to the Vikings.
Yeah, Tavares Jackson threw three picks and lost the fumble.
That sounds right. Mickey, Maria, Michelle, and Kelly defeated Jillian, Layla, Melina, and Victoria in a Santa's Little Helper match. Vince is here. Last week was supposed to be a celebration of 15 years of Raw, but instead he was knocked unconscious and humiliated, and everyone celebrated it. He didn't know how they could celebrate like that. His heart was broken. He's a human being, and they all celebrated his downfall. Jeff Hardy comes out, says next week Vince is going to Iraq. When Saddam was overthrown, the Iraqi celebrated because he was a cruel control freak, much like Vince. Got him. Jeff leaves, and Vince sits in the ring and refuses to leave throughout commercial. Regal comes out and tries to help, and then Triple H comes out and gives him a fake apology, and Regal says that's enough, and Triple H is thrown out of here. Vince still won't budge, and eventually he does and says Triple H will face Regal and Coach tonight. So they kind of do the match right there, but everyone's in their street clothes, so it's not really a match, but Triple H gets the victory over Coach. Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes retain against Cade Murdoch using their rematch clause.
Yes. Sorry, I got crossed up here. Where are we?
Ric Flair defeats Umaga in a career-threatening match, gives a big speech thanking everyone in case this is it. Before, he's been the most selfish man alive to become Ric Flair, which, yes, correct. Absolutely. Umaga's tough, but if this is it, what a ride. Umaga takes it to him, but Rick won't stay down. So Umaga brings him outside, tries to spear him through the barricade, but Rick moves. Umaga goes through it, and Rick wins by countout to preserve his career.
Yes, and Chris Jericho's here next.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. Last night, he beat Randy Orton, and he should be ecstatic, but he won by disqualification. He had a millisecond from tapping out, but then JBL came in and messed everything up. He invited JBL tonight, however, he's not here, so he's going to have to go to SmackDown and get answers. JBL then showed up on the screen and said there's no need for that. He's wasting his time. He's a very busy man, so why would he come to Buffalo? Jericho's low on a list of priorities. Jericho pushed JBL when he was at ringside, and JBL couldn't let that slide. Won't be getting another title match if he goes to SmackDown, he won't even be in the Rumble. JBL and Vince came to an agreement that if Jericho messes with JBL, he'll never get another title match. He doesn't know what happens to JBL. He lost his balls and went soft. JBL said that if Jericho's going to tug on his cape, he'll get what he gets. Okay,
fair enough.
Carlito and Santino defeated the team of London and Kendrick. Randy Orton isn't just a legend killer anymore. It's the killer of hopes and dreams. This is a one-man dynasty run.
Yes.
Triple H congratulates Ric Flair. Vince came in and booked two of them in a match on the New Year's Eve Raw.
Yes, we had Shawn Michaels and Jeff Hardy against Randy Orton and Ken Kennedy, and Jeff pinned Orton for the win. So,
yeah.
Something's up.
Yeah.
ECW from Rochester, New York. Shannon Moore and Jimmy Wang Yang defeat Miz and Morrison, non-title match. Also, didn't need to happen again.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin squashes Colin Delaney. Kenny defeats Nunzio. MVP gets disqualified against Punk when he won't back off him in the corner, and Chavo comes out and attacks Punk and leaves him laying to end the show because, again, just has to look like an asshole all the time. And then we get SmackDown, also from Rochester. Edge and Vicky are here. Teddy Long is going to officially present Edge with the title. Edge has many people to thank. He'd like to start with Teddy Long, who settled into his new role as Vicky's assistant. Also like to thank his fan, the Edgeheads, but two specific Edgeheads. We know him as the Major Brothers, but as it turns out, their names are Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. He'd also like to thank Vicky, the love of his life. They play a video of their times together. He also thanks Batista. Doesn't have to worry about carrying SmackDown anymore because that's Edge's job now. But Batista invoked his rematch clause, so, you know, we'll see what happens. But Edge is not concerned, so the last image we'll see tonight is Edge holding the title. Finlay and Hornswoggle defeat Kali and Dave Kapoor. Maybe Finlay could wrestle someone else at some point.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's here, cuts basically the same promo that he cut on Raw, and discusses his New Year's Eve Raw match with Triple H. Kane, Rey Mysterio, and CM Punk defeat Mark Henry, Viscera, and MVP. Kane takes out Viscera, Punk takes out MVP, and Rey hits 619 on Henry, and then Kane choke slams him for the victory.
There was high chance on Jamie Noble and Michelle McCool's date. Surprisingly.
Very funny.
Festus beat Deuce, both were dressed like Santa. JBL gave a farewell address to SmackDown as he's going to Raw to wrestle Chris Jericho. Taz joined Cole for the main event. It was Edge versus Batista for the World Heavyweight title. Vicky came out, and as it turns out, it was a 3-on-1 handicap match, and Batista also had to deal with the Edgeheads. Takes a pin rider after a spear. Won the title, but as it turned out, he had to pin Edge to win the title, and Vicky forgot to say that. So it kept going, and Hawkins kept...
Yeah, so eventually Batista wins, and that is SmackDown, and that is basically it for 2007. There's a New Year's Eve Raw, but we'll start our week with that when we get to January. And it is 6 full years of WWE television in the books for us now.
That is. It's crazy. I thought about that a couple weeks ago. It's crazy when you think about, like, how long we've been doing the show and, like, the ebbs and flows of the company. Throughout the meantime, it's like, holy shit, we're finally getting to HD television. Do you know how excited I am?
We are. It's going to be great.
To finally get to television that looks aesthetically pleasing. Holy shit. So yeah, we'll finish. I think it's like one or two, like a Raw maybe. Like
the end. Yeah, it's a Raw, and then I think ECW is like the first of January. But if you look on Peacock, we finished out the season, quote unquote. So
the season, right. And then I think it's like the one right before the Rumble. That's the first HD shows, the Raw since SmackDown. Yes. So fucking thrilled we get to do January coming up soon, year number 7, 2008. Anything before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. Just, you know, everyone have a nice, safe holiday. And, you know, we'll be back in January.
Yes. Do not get in the fights at your holiday Christmas party about AEW or WWE. Matter of fact, just don't mention wrestling at all. You might scare some people, women especially. I am Pierce. You can follow me at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinO'Neill31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At Barber's Chair Net on X and Instagram, Facebook.com/ Barber's Chair Digital. New episodes of 79th and Hallis. Fuck those fuckers. They have a new episode up right now. Just go listen to it. I'm pretty sure there'll be a new King's Landing because Desmond Ritter sucks. Just go enjoy the holidays, pour some eggnog, and kick back and listen to us. Subscribe to the Patreon if you want to give us a little gift. Patreon.com/ Barbershare Network. That will be what, year number 7 for us beginning, I believe. I've lost count because I hate fucking math, but thank you guys for supporting us through the first 6. We really do appreciate it, man. This has been Ruthless Aggression for Rob and Chris. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Happy Chanukah. Happy Kwanzaa and a Happy New Year, y'all. We'll see you guys in 2024. Be easy.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.